At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know like Vilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
If you're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams, Bet Rivers has you covered. Bet Rivers has launched a series of CityCasts designed to tackle sports betting from the local perspective, and there are CityCasts in Chicago, Denver, Detroit, LA, New York, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and now Washington, D.C. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcasts. We'll run down last night's betting action coming up in about 15 minutes. Dallin Cuff's going to join us in 30 from ESPN, get his best bets for today.
Good stuff. I was talking to a pro sports bettor yesterday.
Okay.
I tried to do that after Megabucks with the gal once you want all that money. It's so damn hard. The time you have to spend and
all the day in, day out grind.
Oh, I know. And things have changed since then, too, which when she hit 2012, whatever it was. But he made a good point about the LeBron thing. I mean, it's going to be hard to beat the book, right? And you get the information is king and just bam, okay, LeBron's out. And then can you beat him? Can you get the good number? But then if you made a good point, if you do, then suddenly you have the attention of the book. Then they circle you, and then you're labeled. It's like, oh, okay, this guy, huh? Drop a big, okay, you laid 2.5 with the Spurs. You had the information early. Okay, we got an eye on you, buddy, now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got to be careful. It's kind of like what Frank B. talks about. If you see a mistake or you love a prop, about just go to the kiosk, bet small, and keep hitting it till they run out of paper.
Sure, right.
Right?
I've made, that was one of my New Year's resolutions, was to get off my couch when I see something that I like that's, you know, off market, mispriced, shouldn't be where it is. I've gotten off my couch, I think, 4 times this year to go and make bets at a kiosks. And if I hit one of them, it'll be well worth my time. Like long future odds that were just like, let's say 90-1 at one spot, and they were 40-1 or 60-1 in another spot, and I just bet the kiosk like 20 times.
Moving lines without taking a bet is out of control, though. And it's been out of control the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Send it to the traders. What do you mean, send it to the traders?
Sure, it's on.
No, I'm not betting 10 dimes here. Send it to the traders.
It's on the app. It's available on your book.
And then they move
take
it.
Take the bet.
And then they move it, and they reject it and move the line.
Yeah.
God, is that dirty pool.
Oh, it really is. I can't believe that gaming anywhere has not stepped in yet and said and to tell these operators that can't happen.
Uh-huh. Concur.
What are you doing?
Concur.
Yep.
Yep.
So speaking of that, like we had a major story yesterday as a professional football player, and I'm sure you've heard the story by now, but Calvin Ridley, receiver for the Falcons, he placed bets legally 3 different times, including the Atlanta Falcons on these parlays. He put a 3-team, a 5-team, and an 8-team parlay in that he basically said it was $1,500 on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
So because of this, the league came out yesterday and suspended him for the entire upcoming 2022 season.
Goodell can ban you for life, like Joe's fruit stand. I mean, can. Banned. I mean, that's,
and by the way,
I learned that yesterday too, reading these rules.
And this is why I really did not pay attention to the story that much yesterday from like mainstream media nationally, because they really have never covered gambling in their lives. So this is all new to them as well. I didn't even really want to hear the reactions. I did today on the way in hear somebody make his point that, this is not me speaking, the person on air said that he could absolutely justify a lifetime ban on Calvin Ridley. And so when I hear that, I'm like, I can't possibly pay attention to the story at all. I mean, what Stephen Ross did in Miami, if proven true, where he wanted his coach and was going to pay him $100,000 to lose games, that's worse. There are levels of this.
Yep.
That's like Ross and Donaghy, and then there's a massive drop-off to what Calvin Ridley did.
Yes.
Ross would have to be blackballed from owning anything like this ever again in his entire life.
Has to sell the team
immediately
that day.
Yes.
And why wouldn't you believe Flores? And there are witnesses to that as well.
Uh-huh.
Some of this is ambiguous, but the decision rests with the commissioner when violations, betting on games, associating with gamblers, engaging in gambling activities, accepting a bribe, or failing to promptly report a bribe offer. That's also in trouble for that, too.
Mm-hmm.
But the punishment doesn't fit the crime here. It's a 3, 5, and 18 parlay. He's away from the team. He bet on the Falcons against the Jacksonville in the games with the parlays. He must stop tweeting. Stop tweeting. Oh, I'm going to be fresh now again. Ross Tucker nailed it. I mean, you bet $1,500 and now you lost. It cost you $11
million. Mm-hmm.
And now you're going to be out for 2 years. And
maybe
longer.
That.
Yep. That's certainly possible if he screws up and keeps tweeting. Good tweet from Ross Tucker. But the other thing is, and it's fair, and it doesn't make sense. I know you want to send a strong message here, but you can't watch a video where a guy knocks out his girlfriend and you give him two games. Two. That's what he did to Ray Rice. I mean, he knew about it the entire time. Yeah. Even go back to what was Josh Brown, a kicker of the Giants, what he did too. But some of this stuff doesn't make sense at all.
Greg Hardy got 4 games.
That's another one.
He did.
Right. There's
like,
another one.
Like domestic violence, that kind of a deal. It's between 2 and 4 games. But that's the NFL has been so. Look at this tweet from Nick Looney. Did he nail this or what? Major NFL suspensions. Ray Rice beating fiance 2 games. Adrian Peterson felony child abuse 6 games. Greg Hardy beating girlfriend 10 games reduced to 4. Zeke hitting women 6 games. Ridley 17 games for using a betting app. Josh Gordon 6 seasons smoking weed.
Mm hmm. And we know we're tight with Mike Pritchard, who's on this network, played many years in the NFL, and it used to be, if it still is, it was everywhere in the locker rooms, but they make you well aware you cannot do this. And that's why, Ridley, what are you thinking? Okay, to do it under your own name and put it on the app,
mm-hmm.
and to bet on the app, and you know the rules, and he still doesn't think it's a big deal,
right.
About, come on, give me a year, man, come on, bro. But it does not matter whether sports betting is legal or illegal in a given state. If you work in the NFL in any capacity, you may not bet on NFL football, betting on games in any form is forbidden. That's the statement from the spokesman, Brian McCarthy. But you knew this, and you still did it. I can't believe it.
And so,
you're awake with the mental health thing.
Paul, so this is the one thing where I will listen to former players because they would have the perspective on this, right?
True.
And so I've heard former players now in the last 20 hours or whatever say, once you step foot on a college football field, it is driven into you that you are not allowed to bet. This is college. And then once you get to the NFL, there is a rookie symposium, and it's always brought up. Like, they talk to you all the time about this. You cannot gamble. Cannot do it. And yet this guy thought it would be a smart idea to get an app in Florida when he was playing in Georgia as an NFL player and then fire off on his own mobile phone? He thought that was a good idea? No. Chris Carter told, that was at the rookie symposium, I think, in 2015, when he said to players, you have to have a fall guy. And that was a huge deal back when he said that. But if you have somebody else make the bet, well, how dumb can you be?
Right. He didn't have to tweet, I don't have a gambling problem. But I guess maybe some people overreact. But when you look and the guy signed, I think his contract was 4 years, $11 million. I mean, this is like the average guy betting a $5 parlay.
Yeah, right.
Maybe not even that. I mean, he's betting $500 parlays, three of them.
Yeah. So then what did you make of the Falcons? Because they had several trade offers for Calvin Ridley.
Yeah.
And they said, out of good faith, knowing what was going to happen to him because of what he did, they said, no, we can't do it.
And he could have pulled one over on the Patriots. A little maybe revenge for what happened in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And the Patriots gloating in the celebration, which I don't blame. It was an epic joke. But the Patriots and other teams were interested.
I will say that it makes my level of respect for the Falcons organization go up a little bit for doing that.
Yep.
Because like I said earlier, with something like this, and here's the tweet from Adam Schefter, multiple teams reached out. They said, no, out of good faith, can't do it. I would not. Let's go back in time then. Let's say that they would have traded Calvin Ridley, and they knew he was betting on games this previous year. I would not put it past Roger Goodell to come out and pull a David Stern with Chris Paul, rescind the trade. Yeah. Can't happen. Who knows? He's got to go back.
Atlanta could have said we had no idea it would be this severe. Yeah. Maybe they could have said maybe we were led to believe he was only getting 4 or 6 games.
Sure, sure.
Like a PED thing. I had so many questions right away when it came out. I'm like, whoa, you got to be kidding me. Look at this breaking news.
Yep.
But the other thing was because it said late November. Did he bet on the Falcons? Did he bet against the Falcons? Because it said late November, there's only 2 games.
If he's betting against them, that's a whole other story.
The win at Jacksonville, and then they played Thursday night at home where they got shut out by the Patriots. Yeah. I go, oh, no.
Yeah.
I thought for sure, I go, oh, no.
Yeah.
Did he think we have no chance tonight?
No, I know. But the good news, I guess, for him is that he was betting on the team.
Yeah.
And I think if he was
betting, innocuous, as far as I'm concerned, from his standpoint. Yeah. I mean, well,
oh, sure, sure.
But it was just innocuous parlays. It wasn't like the guy was giving me 30 dimes on something.
Right. Now, I do think that, again, you cannot, there's no, imagine if you had to make a living betting on what the NFL is going to hand down for punishments. We'd all be broke.
Yes.
All of us would be. But so I think the year is absolutely preposterous.
Yep.
It's way too many games. On the flip side, because he's the first player to get nailed like this with all of these states now having it legally, you kind of do have to make a precedent out of it.
Well, you knew the rule. Yeah. It's right there.
Because I would say that if you did not give him a year, like let's say they did give him 2 games or 4 games like this, I think that kind of sends maybe a poor message to other players in the league where they could be, well, you know what? 2 games, 4 games, I'll do it. If I get busted, who cares? I'll miss then a couple of weeks. That's going to be it.
Well, I'm glad the tweet stopped. If you know me, you know my character. I was wrong, but I'm getting a year, LOL. Just going to be more healthy when I come back. I couldn't even watch football at that point. I bet 1,500 total. I don't have a gambling problem. I learned from my L's. That was March 6th.
That was the day before it came out.
Yeah. Okay.
So he must have known at that point.
Yes.
That the news was going to break the following day. One would guess anyway.
Sure.
You looked surprised in the first hour of today's show when I said that, you know what? That I wasn't surprised that an NFL player got busted for this. That a player was betting on games.
Okay. Well, what took so long? That's my other thing.
Well,
the games were in November.
Yeah.
Come on.
I don't know what
he admitted it.
No, I know.
What took so long?
I don't know what the process is behind that. I don't know why they would have to wait so long. Maybe there's something legally that they have to wait.
It's a 15-minute discussion. Did you do it? Yes. Okay.
From his own phone, he signed up for an app.
Yeah, you don't need Columbo on this one.
Oh my God.
I mean.
Oh. Reno 911 can figure this out. Up next, win some, lose some, and fresh Lakers props. Will they miss the playoffs? Will Vogel be the coach next year? And will this actually happen with one of their star players?
Win Some, Lose Some is presented by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Check out their daily specials at BetRivers.com.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Molly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
Pistons money line plus 240 beat the Hawks in overtime. Good stop, Cunningham. Good game. Hawks lose again. Squeaky bum time. Wizards are right behind them now.
Let me ask you this. So our producer, Dustin, brought this up earlier in the show. You take a flyer on Cunningham to win Rookie of the Year. I noticed the movement on Mobley now.
Oh!
He was as high as $8 or $9. He's back down to like $4 now.
Oh, really? Funny, funny you brought...
making a run at Cunningham.
Okay, there it was. Funny you brought that up. Bill Simmons just talked about this on his podcast. He said, Mobley's way too high. It's got to be Barnes. But Barnes needs to be in the discussion.
Really? Okay.
He's like, Mobley can't be $9, $8.
Uh-huh. It's a really good rookie class again this year.
Yes, it is. Wilmington, Charleston under 143 down to 137. 60 to 57. Wilmington wins. Championship game later today. Towson, Delaware under 141 down to 137. Cash it. Look at all the unders. A lot of the market's moving. Mm-hmm. IPFW, Northern Kentucky under 137 to 133. T-Wolves, Blazers under 235 to 231. Home teams last night in the association, 7-1 straight up. The Spurs from 2 up to 6.5, no LeBron, and they won by 7. I reached out to Jeff Sherman at the Westgate. Makes the Lakers 325 to make the playoffs. $100, $100 bet, you get 300 back. 5-1, best of 7 against Golden State or Phoenix if everyone's healthy. Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com, our radio and podcast friends. Good mix as always. Gorilla roller coaster. No, thank you. And if I have something to eat before, it's coming up.
Well, of course.
That's going to be a reversal. My God. Oh, God. I've never seen anything like this.
Again, I don't like how fluid that looks. It looks like you're going to go in there and get the daylights beaten out. I mean, come on.
I did the ride.
Right. Yeah. Shaking you like that, throwing you around? No, thank you.
I can't remember where it is, like Six Flags or Disneyland, whatever. Like the ship that they hang you upside down.
Oh, yes.
That rocket, yeah.
Done that one before. But that has like, that goes like this and smooth like this.
This thing.
There's nothing to that whatsoever.
Oh, no. That is scary. I want no part of that. How about this? Look at this animal, this creature. Nagapai jumping into the guy's hands. Like, look at the hang time. And then babe, coming in hot. And he nails it to get the treat in the guy's hand.
I have to be honest. That's one of my favorite animal videos of the entire year.
Yeah, it is good. Dan will put that up on Instagram, at Pauly Does Vegas on Instagram. Very good. How about back-to-back dog videos? I mean, look at the guys outside here in the elements training.
Dog? How about bear?
What did I say? Dog? Yeah. Bear. Okay, bear. Okay. I mean, and then the bear, whether or not these are real.
What are the bears doing?
I hope these are real. If not, who cares? I mean, look at this. I can't even make this up. The guy's on the branch swinging. Like Georgia the Jungle, they come in, and then you got the bear behind them on the branch pushing down to help out with the MMA cross.
Plus, there's 3 feet of snow, and they got their shirts off.
Yes, right. Yeah, and this one, speaking of in the elements, guy hanging out, but it's like a cat, just like a big cat. Think of it then. Yeah, what, you got any honey here? And the guy's hanging out.
Right here.
Thumbs up.
Let me smell the forehead.
Oh. Right. Now, that could be like, Mike down at the plant, who's just dressed up in a costume, but still... You never know.
That is his costume.
Could be Frank the Tank, too. That is...
Actually, you know what? Did I see... Is that a hand slipping out of there?
No, that's his hand.
Oh, that's his hand.
That's
okay.
A guy on a couch.
All right.
No. No way.
Wanted to make sure.
All right. And now people are mad for whatever reason. They want to blame Steph Curry for this. But look at this high school game where the kids are going back and forth from beyond almost half court, knocking down these threes.
Well,
I
don't think it's blaming Steph Curry. I think it's just pointing out that this is how kids want to play.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
They want to be Steph Curry.
This is right.
But they're going back and forth, knocking down like 35-footers.
It's four in a row. And look at this guy.
Paul, they're running no offense.
No.
They're inbounding the basketball. The kid dribbles it down on both sides. Now watch this one here. That's from half court. But by the way, I think it continues. That's the fourth one. I think we have two more here.
There's two more coming?
Look at that kid.
Oh, no.
Another half-court shot.
That is from half-court.
And then there's another one right here. By the way, there's no reaction from the crowd.
Yeah,
like, okay.
Zero. Everyone's sitting on their hands.
The kid traveled. He took like 5 steps, by the way. They didn't call it.
If that happened in an NBA game, Twitter would break.
Yes.
They had 6 in a row from around half-court. Crazy.
God, I wish I was in high school now because that's exactly how I would play.
Lose some. Cleveland State, Wright State under 149 down to 147. 82-67. St. Mary's, Santa Clara under 141 down to 138. No good. 75-72 St. Mary's. South Dakota State, South Dakota under 157 down to 151. Georgia State, Lafayette under 138 to 132. 80-71. Warriors Nuggets under 223.5 to 220.5. 131-124. Bulls Sixers over 229 up to 232.5. No good. One lose some. Mick Cronin getting ready for the Pac-12 tournament was interviewed. Said In-N-Out Burger is overrated.
How?
The great burger. But
tell me how it's under.
I think it's the hype. The fries suck.
Is that what takes away from it?
But it's the hype machine. It's the hype machine. You got to try it. It's like a TV show.
Okay.
Right? You got to see it.
If you go to In-N-Out and you don't get the fries, don't get the, if you just go there and get a burger, and you can go, I've had the triple-triple so many times I can't even count.
Yeah?
And that's a big, delicious burger. Monster. You can go protein style, you can go animal style, there are some so many ways to do it.
Sure. Couple bad beats. Bruins, $1.90. The Kings tied it with 30 seconds and won in overtime. Avalanche on the puck line, plus money. What happened? They led 5-1 in the third period. It wasn't like they were playing the Gretzky Oilers either. Mm-hmm. It was the Islanders. 5-4 final. Gonzaga got up to 14.5. They were up 24 with 7 minutes left. 1-10. What a racket. Win some, lose some, presented by Bet Rivers, your hometown book. Log in and get a 20% live profit boost on the NBA every Tuesday. Learn more. BetRivers.com. More Laker props. Now, you actually could say, if Davis was healthy the whole time, the Lakers would be a top six seed. And then maybe that could lead to, okay, Westbrook, that's enough. But now, I mean, they have to, their schedule is so difficult coming up. There are plenty of losses coming. They're going to be the 10th seed.
I think so, because look at the way the Pelicans are also going.
Yep. And at some point, you get Zion.
That's correct.
The Pelicans have figured this out.
Okay, so here are some props. Again, you brought this up. You talked to Jeff Sherman.
Yep.
And it's available at other spots as well. Will the Lakers make the playoffs? Right now, the number, shop around again, the yes is plus 350. Put $100 down on the Lakers. If they make the playoffs, you get $350 back and your original bet of $100.
2 weeks at William Hill was plus 175.
Is that right?
Now, maybe you might watch what happened Saturday and say, oh, my God, LeBron James, I got to take a shot, and Davis is coming back. But, yep.
Mm. Will Vogel be the Lakers head coach next season? The no is minus $7.
Oh.
So then who would be the next coach of the Lakers? Who would LeBron want in there?
Or Genie. Maybe Genie says that that's my call. I'm not listening to you.
Can I ask you a question here about
Plank,
the Lakers?
Maybe Plank and Genie say, no, we didn't listen to you and Clutch and your people about the Westbrook thing. We kept them, so.
I kind of hinted at this the other day. I'll ask you right now. What would this Lakers team look like right now if they never made any of these deals and never got rid of any of the younger guys, right?
Oh.
Like, let's say they never traded for Anthony Davis, so they would not win the title in the bubble. But what would the 2022 version look like if they had LeBron, Kuzma, Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Caruso, and I think I'm missing somebody in there as well. If they kept that core together.
You'd have Pope, too. Not for nothing, need a shooter.
Yeah, I'm probably forgetting one other guy in there. What would they look like? Look at how they've developed with other teams. Brandon Ingram is outstanding.
Yep, I didn't see that coming.
Lonzo Ball.
Hell of a player. Yep,
Lonzo. Very good player.
Yep. Caruso.
Yeah, before he got hurt, he was.
Yeah.
And then will Westbrook come off the bench this season? The yes is plus 140, no is minus 180.
That's the move. It just, you have to.
Well, they.
But it's just, it's.
You know, when LeBron, when he was ruled out last night, they were calling it serious knee soreness.
I believe it. He's up there in age.
Oh, no, I know.
It's a lot of minutes. But that's also, I see where you're going. Cause for concern. Once, the first round, they spread it out like, but that's.
That
but you're
going
to have to go play in. You can play 3 games in a week there, then game one.
And then you're going to have to go through either the Suns or the Warriors. Then what? Who will they look at it in the 4-5?
Yeah.
Talking about maybe the Mavericks? Or a team in that area? I mean, come on.
Again, it goes back. The whole problem is Westbrook is delusional. Yeah. He still thinks it's like he did it again. Oh, I've accomplished so much in this league. You stink. You can't shoot.
All right. If you need more college basketball insight, check out the podcast Coast to Coast Hoops with Greg Hoops Peterson. As he looks at every single college basketball game, the major games, the minor games as well, he has an opinion on every single game on his podcast. He provides unique insights, and he looks for those games that have solid betting opportunities. You can download Coast to Coast Hoops now at vsin.com/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, catch up on every VSIN show as well. Dallin Cuff will join the program coming up next with ESPN. You know, he was on the coverage last night in studio when Chattanooga hit that game-winning shot.
Yes.
Get his reaction to that. And that team not fouling late. And who he likes today with point spreads involved coming up here on Follow the Money.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Join the college hoops action for free with the March Mania Survivor presented by KFC. Pick winning teams throughout the tournament to outlast the competition and feast on your share of $30,000. Head to DraftKings.com/KFC/March/Mania to play for free for your cut of the cash. KFC, finger licking good. DraftKings.com for details.
All right, let's get into today's card a little bit here. As Dallin Cuff is a super solid college basketball analyst on ESPN. He joins us now. Dallin, thanks for the time today. We appreciate it. You were in studio last night, and I was watching. I had a split screen, right? So I had you in studio, and then I had like the Chattanooga game on live when I watched it. A couple things here. What was your actual reaction live to the people who missed this last night? And then what was up with not fouling up three late?
First, I'll go to my reaction because that's what March is all about. And guys, I was a player. I'm a fan. I love March. It's the best time of the year. And like everybody else, I jumped out of my seat and yelled. I couldn't believe it wasn't just the three that Jean Baptiste hit. It was the sequence back and forth. And the plays before, both teams made shots throughout the overtime. Furman was 5 for 5. And the Mocs had to answer. They hit a couple big threes to answer. Bothwell gets that layup. And he hit the three to tie it, to your point, in regulation. And then you go, you know, the other way, and he hits that. There's not really much else you can do. You made him turn once. You had two guys there contesting, and he made a 30-footer kind of off balance, going a righty going to his left. It's just, it's brutal to watch Furman go down like that. But like everybody else, I jumped out of my seat and yelled, and immediately we're like, we got to run that. We got to get that into our game. Let's go. Like, get that highlight going. We got to get a cut in to show people what just took place. That was kind of the first moment of Champ Week. As far as not fouling up three, you do what you practice. And bear in mind, that possession, they had the ball with about 20 seconds to go, 23 seconds to go. So at that point, I thought you need to be going to get a two. You need to go score. That was a horrible possession, guys, for the Paladins. Yep. Like, they were just dribbling around. And then Bothwell, like it was a three-on-three game, went to about 12 feet and then ran back out to the three-point line and shot a three. Like, when you don't know what guys are doing, it's hard to foul because you can't make a mistake. You don't want to foul a guy that's a three-point shooter. I thought they were going to go for two. It's hard to coach that because it's different when they have the ball inbounding coast to coast with like 7 or 8 seconds left. You practice that all the time. When they have a possession with 23 seconds and you think they're going to score, you're not really prepared to foul because you got to wait to the right time to foul. You want to foul with about 6 seconds left. That's hard to do. So the whole thing was a mess. And fortunately for Furman, they made the shot. Unfortunately for the Mocs, they made the big shot to win it all in OT.
Yep. How do you think South Dakota State handles the pressure tonight? Ooh. I mean, it's 20-0 in conference, 29 wins, and it appears they have to win this to get the. They won't be at an at-large bid, and both games have been close against North Dakota State this season.
It's one of the best matchups of this Champ League, I think, guys, just because not just the rivalry the two schools have a little bit and the success they've had in recent years, and North Dakota State almost kind of getting over the hump, if you will, getting to Oral Roberts. They lost last year in this final game and of the Summit League, and they're very different teams. And San Diego State can really score the ball, man, and Shireman is an outstanding guard that does all kinds of stuff. Luke Apple comes off the bench, and they got guys that can make plays, Wilson in the interior. They're a fun team to watch. North Dakota State will grind the pace. With Edie and Gressel, they got great guard play. They got some athleticism. They do a great job of defending and running teams off the three-point line and making it hard for you to knock down threes and hard for you to get rhythm shots. In terms of the line, I would take North Dakota State in this game in terms of the line in this game. But the actual outcome of it, we're not supposed to root. I would like to see the Jackrabbits go forward because I do think they can win a game in the tournament. I'm not sure North Dakota State can do that. Mm-hmm. I think South Dakota State just presents some more problems in a tournament scenario. With some of the high majors they'll see. So I think that's going to be an outstanding game, contrast the styles a bit, and with some really, really talented players and versatile players on both sides.
Yeah, and by the way, that number's now up to 5.5 this morning. Jackrabbits favored by 5.5. Paulie, I know you wanted to ask him about Bellarmine taking on Jacksonville today. This is unique, Dallin, right? Because of the transition to D1, Bellarmine's not eligible to make the actual tournament. The big dance, they're laying 2.5 points today. But on the flip side, Jacksonville absolutely has to win this game to get the automatic bid, because if they don't, it goes to the regular season champ, which was Jacksonville State.
I do like that the Atlantic Sun figured this thing out, because they had the same situation last year where the championship game didn't matter, where basically whoever got there was going to go through with the situation with teams leaving conferences and teams not eligible, whatever. So this year, at least, it would revert back to the regular season winner. So Jacksonville's got to win the game, which puts a lot of game pressure on them. Bellarmine's a really good offensive team, how they pass the ball, share the ball. They don't really turn it over. However, they don't manufacture offense very well in different ways. They got to make shots, and a lot of times they make two-point shots. They don't get to the free throw line really at all. They don't offensive rebound really at all. Yeah. And these type of games where Well, the difference for them is usually there's a lot of pressure in these games. And when I look at these mid-majors and the small conferences, a lot of times I look at how else do they manufacture buckets if they don't get shots and make shots. Georgia State's a good example yesterday. They don't normally make shots, but they're an offensive rebounding team. They're a free throw shooting team. They get to the line. They get extra opportunities. I like them in that game. They ended up covering because they did shoot it well. Well, Bellarmine has no pressure here, guys. There's just go hoop. And you're kind of hooping for, you know, just your ability to say, we won this game, we won this championship, but it doesn't mean the same thing. With that said, I might lean Bellarmine here just because they've had a really tough non-conference schedule. They have no pressure on them. They do have they pass and share the ball. They do not turn over, like I mentioned. So I might lay them as the favorite, lay the couple points, given their situation right now, comparative to Jacksonville's.
How unique is this in all your years playing and covering the sport where it's 10, 11 passes, no screens, not a lot of dribbling?
It was Norman Dale and Hoosiers. I think he's out there doing his thing right now. But they do. They pass, they cut, they move, and they cut. It's different when you cut just to cut versus cutting to score or cutting to open up somebody else. Like, okay. It's a very selfless offense in terms of you're giving of yourself, you're working hard, knowing that you're probably not going to get a shot, knowing you're probably not going to get the ball in a scoring area, but you're making a cut to set up the next cut to set up the next pass. And it is unique to say the least, especially in modern basketball where the ball is pounded just nonstop. It is a very, it's somewhat refreshing and it's somewhat hard to guard because you're not used to seeing it.
Sure.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Dalen Cuff from ESPN. So what about the West Coast Conference Championship game tonight? Gonzaga was up by, 24 with 7 or 8 minutes to go last night. They did not cover. San Francisco went on a big run to only lose by 10. And then tonight, the opening number here, Dalen, on this game was Gonzaga, 13.5. They just got spanked at St. Mary's. Now, this is a neutral, of course. The numbers now come back down to 12.5, and the total is 141.5 here. Your thoughts on Gonzaga and St. Mary's?
Well, I did say last night on Daily Wager, I love Gonzaga in the first half yesterday, which was -8, which did hit. And I was worried about the backdoor cover because when you have a back-to-back situation, when you're playing a championship game the next night, I thought they'd be up about 20. And it got closer than I even thought, but it did get you underneath the number if you took the Dawn. So that is concerning. With this game, it wasn't that St. Mary's beat them, guys. It was the manner in which they beat them. They just punked them.
Yep.
Like they just physically dominated that game on the interior. Well, we've seen Gonzaga get their guards getting taken out of things earlier this year. We saw it in Duke. We saw it when they played Alabama. We saw it to some context, some degree of success against Texas Tech, although they won that game. Or you can get up in their guards, disrupt their flow, take them out of their offense, and then transition defense. They don't tend to be great at when they're struggling to make shots. What we hadn't seen was them just get beat up on the inside. Drew Timmy pushed 3 and 4 feet off the block. Their ability to get on the other side, the Gales get any shot they want off the bounce into the paint or off post-ups in the paint. So playing at St. Mary's was a big advantage. That was a melee of a scene. Talking to my guy, Sean Farnham, let's just say everybody was properly lubricated before that game, very well in advance to make their presence felt during that game. So I do think the environment mattered there. Gonzaga did not handle it well. They did not bounce back well. They kind of caved, which was surprising. I think you're going to see an more angry, more focused team. That said, if you're giving me 12.5 points with a team like St. Mary's that does control the tempo, which did it better than anybody else has in recent memory. It's not just this past game when they played. I mean, Randy Bennett has been doing this for years with Gonzaga. He's been their one thorn in their side occasionally when he had better teams to really contend with them. You're going to give me the 12.5 in a neutral court. I will take the 12.5 in this game, and I do think it'll be a game where Gonzaga wins by 7, 8, 9, but St. Mary's can keep it close because they are the slowest tempo in the country for a reason. They know how to control the game, and they controlled it physically, and that's somewhat replicable. Maybe not to the same degree of success, but it is replicable.
Beautiful. A-plus analysis. Two minutes left. Any sleeper or a pick you like to win a conference tournament?
This is not a reaction to what just happened Saturday night with Coach K in North Carolina. This is about North Carolina's path in the ACC and their number. They're plus 550. Now, I don't usually love playing futures in the big conferences, but when they're plus 550, look at their path, guys. They're now plus 600 by your numbers, which is even better. Look at their path to the championship game. If they, as a 3 seed, they get to play UVA, most likely, who they just destroyed. And UVA is a bad matchup if UNC is a bad matchup for UVA, I think they can win that game again handily. Okay. On the other side of that bracket is a Notre Dame team against Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech may beat Notre Dame, and I'm interested to see the numbers. I think Virginia Tech may actually be the favorite if that matchup takes place. And I think Virginia Tech plays, North Carolina's beat them twice. Again, not a good matchup for them physically. Their guards on the perimeter don't really have tons of athleticism, can't get a bunch of open shots. Virginia Tech, when they played North Carolina twice, didn't go well for them. If it's Notre Dame, Notre Dame is a better matchup for the in terms of beating North Carolina, but I do think they would think about how they guarded that five out kind of motion, how they guarded Nate Leshefsky, and they might have some answers to really punish them on the other end in terms of Armando Bacot in the interior. I think North Carolina's path is easier to the final than Duke's. Duke lost to Miami, a team that can space you out, has guards, and can beat you off the deck, which they've struggled with continually. Wake Forest came back and almost beat them on their floor at Cameron Indoor like Miami did. Those are the four and the five seeds. Florida State is dinged up, but Florida State also has some length and athleticism. They beat Duke at home, and that's the eight seed. That would be their opening match in the opening game in the quarterfinal if Florida State beats Syracuse. So overall, I like Wake North Carolina getting there. And if you're going to give me plus 600 in a rematch against Duke, no. I think I'll take those numbers. I'll take those odds in terms of a high conference, big conference money. The other piece would be Arizona. Arizona, lay the juice. If that's the one, minus 150, don't play that. But I got it at minus 120. I think they are a lock to win the Pac-12.
Wow.
Galen, excellent appearance, my man. Good luck with the sleep this week. Thank you so much.
That ain't happened for another month, boys. But I'll be back. Have a good one.
Be good. You too.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it. Take it.
I bet you 20 bucks I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're up.
Here we go with our in-pocket plays. You know, yesterday was one of those days, right, where I had nothing in pocket. But, look, I will admit when I'm wrong faster than anybody in the world. Yeah, everything we talked about yesterday came in. Pistons, and I eventually bet them on the money line. They won the game last night, goes to overtime. I did not watch the game, but evidently the finish was absolutely stupid with what happened with both teams following.
Oh, absolutely. I was watching.
Oh, you were?
Ridiculous. The Pistons game?
Yeah, Pistons.
Ridiculous.
Yep. So they covered in one on the money line.
They're up one. Like 1.8 seconds, and Bogdanovich fouls. Cunningham makes both. And then they do an inbounds play, and Bagley assaults the guy, Collins, but he splits the free throws.
Yeah.
And then the Pistons win in overtime.
That came in. The Warriors, despite sitting everybody for the most part, they hung tough. Did you see the Joker's numbers again last night?
Oh, I did.
30-plus point triple-double.
Ridiculous.
Just insane what he's doing.
Lunas.
But then Embiid played earlier, and he had like 40-plus and 14 boards.
Fun, yeah.
And in college, Santa Clara got there last night. They had the ball. They had a possession down by a point, and the kid, I think the kid had the shot blocked.
Yep.
And then they had a foul with 4 seconds.
Yep.
And then tonight, I like UNC Wilmington plus 2 against Delaware in their conference title game. That's what I'm on.
Strange. Strange line when you think about it. Because they beat them earlier.
Yeah.
The 2 seed and 15-3 in league play.
Mm-hmm.
Hit the push. Should have had money line. My fault. Again. Good money line with Chattanooga. Should have won a game in regulation, though. I mean, I don't know what you're doing. I can't believe the kid doesn't put a hand up or just let the guy lay it in. There's 5 seconds left. You're up 3. If he wants to lay it in,
just give him the basket at that point.
Don't fall for the fake. It's like, and he's right. It was like he was playing a 3-on-3 game or a quick, you know, running out to the 3-point line. He doesn't follow him.
How improbable was that 3?
Huh.
And then let alone the one that won it. And by the way,
two guys on him.
Yes. Yo, almost two
guys.
Dalen Cuff was right, by the way. The beauty of that game, other than not fouling late in overtime, was like no timeouts. And there was a beautiful flow.
Yes.
And teams were making shots. And it was like, man, that's a thing of beauty when that takes place.
I'm going to give it a shot. One of the early games in the ACC, Barclays. Clemson laying 5.5. They've won 4 in a row. They already beat NC State this year. Bad. Reeling NC State team. You get a lot of bad teams the next couple days, but I'll lay it with Clemson. And Nigel checking in. We forgot about soccer, Champions League. Liverpool to win 2-0, and both teams to score in the Bayern Munich game.
Okay.
At the match, yep. Champions League today and tomorrow. Here we go. In Pocket, presented by Bet Rivers, your hometown book. Check out their daily specials posted afternoon Eastern at BetRivers.com.
Okay, we do have a little NFL news right now. Not the big stuff we're waiting for with Rodgers or the Packers and Devontae Adams, but the Dolphins have placed the franchise tag on Mike Gesicki, their tight end. So as of right now, that makes Orlando Brown, offensive tackle for the Chiefs, Jesse Bates, safety Bengals, David Njoku got it yesterday from the Browns, and then Gesicki just now. As Adam Schefter tweeted out, still expected to be tagged, Davante Adams, Chris Godwin, Mike Williams, and Dalton Schultz. Although Diana Russini from ESPN reported an hour ago, the Buccaneers are currently working on a long-term contract offer for Chris Godwin. If it's not struck between the two sides by 4 p.m. today, they will tag him for the second consecutive year.
That'd be a bad beat for him. Work this out.
Packers going to do this with Adams?
Yeah. Rodgers, again, come on.
And then,
let's go. Make up your mind.
If the Packers do that today, and that's expected, will Rodgers make his mind up then this afternoon?
With that guy, who knows? What did the owner say? What did Murphy say? What did he call him? An interesting fella? What did he say? Complicated fella.
I will remind people, though, that it's still not near. Like, to me, he doesn't really owe us anything.
Oh, he's not even close to Favre.
It's not even
Favre. Oh, absolutely.
Brett Favre held the organization hostage for many years after the draft.
Yeah.
Wouldn't tell them what they're going to do.
Yep.
Well, thanks, pal. We appreciate that. You're being really helpful.
Yeah. Where are we at with the poll? The best chance for Rodgers to win a Super Bowl.
Give it to me.
Packers 44%. I thought it'd be close. Yeah, Titans 30%.
Oh, wow, okay.
Sure. Put him on the Titans. Come on. Broncos down to 15, Steelers 9. Go up there at VSiN Live, at VSiN Live to vote. Best chance for Rodgers to win a Super Bowl next season is with Packers, Broncos, Titans, Steelers. I voted Titans.
So did I. I also think people are sleeping on the Steelers a little bit.
Yeah.
I would give the Steelers a better chance to win the Super Bowl next year than the Broncos if they got Aaron Rodgers.
Yep. Good hockey card tonight. And with some sick, sick trends. Winnipeg's in action tonight. 13 straight overs in the third period. Columbus, 22-2 overrun. Toronto, 27-3. Philly, 17-2. Minnesota, 12 in a row. All third periods. You're in the 210, 220 range with the juice. But again, if you win, Jimmy crack corn. Devils, I'm going to say you're going to go earlier. It's like the price is right. I'm going to go 3 minutes and 36 seconds. Colorado and New Jersey. Devils goal in the first 10, 25-4 yes run. First period over, 25-6 run.
That's pretty good, Paul.
You're going to go 90 seconds?
Yeah, right around 90-second mark tonight. I think we'll get
one. We'll be tuned in. Mm-hmm. We'll be tuned in. No goal in the first 10. Carolina, 10 of 11. Vancouver, 11 straight overs in the second period. Can't be laying $1.90 with the Knights on the road. I don't care who they're playing. As bad as they've been. And you pointed this is great. The something has to give game. Rangers on the road against the Wild. Igor against this Wild team with the games. They've run it down since Valentine's. You got it? Do you have it?
If you give me a second, I'll get it. Yeah.
Okay, you have that one tonight as well. And what was the other one I saw? Colorado on a back-to-back, too, and they opened up a good-sized favorite against the Devils after they almost blew a four-goal. Looking right at it, sorry.
Okay.
A four-goal lead against the Islanders.
So here are the combined goals in Minnesota Wild games since Valentine's Day. 11, 9, 8, 10, 7, 4, 10, 6, 9, 9, 9. But they're taking on the guy who's turning into just an overwhelming favorite to win the Vezina. And let me see here. How about you want to look at some alternate totals for Minnesota, their team total tonight? Basically, if you think Shesterkin can shut him out, you'll get 14-1. Under 1.5 goals scored is plus 375. Under 2.5 is plus 150. You want to go under 2.5 goals? If he's in net tonight?
He's been great.
Under 3.5 is minus 160.
Okay.
So what happens though?
Yeah.
Do we still get like a crazy?
You had a bad period against St. Louis.
He did.
I was running down the game log again. It's just you're lucky to score 2-1. It's breaking news if he gives up 2. How about Colorado, New Jersey? Both teams to score in the first period, plus 180.
Okay.
I love that.
I like that one.
Yeah.
I would bet that. Yes, I would. In fact, is that available in Las Vegas? It might be at one spot, huh?
Boyd has it.
Boyd will have it? Okay.
Boyd has it.
I'll look
Lucy
at that.
Returns.
Both teams to score a goal tonight, first period's plus 180.
They offer it in every period. It's good. Hoops Madness, get everything you need to bet the Madness this year. 24/7 streaming, daily best bet emails, our tournament betting guide, data strategy, $19. great trends, great information, great history of the tournament. And you need Point Spread Weekly also this week, as you have all the brackets and all the matchups with Championship Week as well. The golf picks from Wes and the guys, Brady and Lou Finocchiaro, as UFC picks. Must have. Got to have it every week. Whether you're filling out a bracket or betting against the spread, we're going to get you ready for every game and every round of the tournament. Sign up today. And full access to VSiN through April 5th, $19. VSiN.com/madness.
By the way, so here's the schedule today. The early game is 2 o'clock Eastern, 11 o'clock Pacific. That's BC and Pittsburgh in the ACC opening round. Then you have NC State Clemson at 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific. I'm looking at tomorrow. Oh, you know what? They changed the time. Idaho and Sacramento State is now 8:30 Pacific time. But you have a game at 11:30 tomorrow morning on the East Coast. Syracuse, Florida State's at noon Eastern tomorrow. And then you just have a bunch of games, 10, 11, noon, that kind of deal. And then looks like we have an 8 o'clock Pacific game on Thursday and an 8:30 game. Indiana, Michigan,
yes,
8:30 on Thursday?
Good. That's the way it should be.
Wow.
Let's go. We got a MAC game at 8 in the morning, and the Indiana, Michigan's a big game at 8:30 Pacific, too. Yeah. Don't forget that the Jacksonville game's at 2 o'clock Pacific today. It's a standalone in terms of the six championship games. Yeah. I'll be tuned in.
Let me give you this. Thank God for Matt Youmans earlier today. I did not know that he has a cabana this weekend. He gave us the invite to go watch here at Stadium Swim. The invite my wife threw in my lap yesterday for Saturday.
Oh, no.
Some ridiculous thing that she wants me to attend. I'm like, do you understand it's March? Again, we went through this when we got married 12 years ago.
Swap meet?
I don't know. It was like
Randy McKay last week, and the gal took him to a swap meet.
Housewarming party. I'm like, noon on a Saturday.
Housewarming party.
Now I'm going to say, this is, and I wasn't going to go anyway, but it was going to be a fight. Now I have the best excuse ever. No, sorry, cabana, to go watch games.
Do you get in trouble for checking scores at events? Does she get on you?
If we're out to dinner, I usually put my phone away.
Okay, that's all. Okay. Come on.
Housewarming party.
Oh, boy.
March Madness, yeah.
Boy, oh.
Take.